Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to provide you with an update on Turkey. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that we've been monitoring the situation in Turkey for a long period of time, and we've currently got inflation above 80%, and there are some serious issues. Turkey is a net importer. It imports lots of fuel and food, and the value of the Turkish lira has deteriorated significantly over the last 18 months or so. In 2021, the value fell by around 44%, and we've seen it fall by another 30% in 2022. And that's a major problem when you're a net importer, because you're having to buy things in the international markets, and those prices are generally set in dollars. So when your exchange rate is deteriorating, it means that it's costing all of your people a lot more to buy things. So there are some serious issues going on in Turkey right now. And the most recent video that I posted, I talked about the potential for military action. Turkey has been at odds with Greece for a long period of time. The sea that separates Turkey and Greece is called the Aegean, and there are a myriad of islands in that area. Just after World War I, war broke out between the two countries over these territories, and a peace agreement was subsequently signed, but there has been simmering tension between the two countries ever since. And we're now starting to see that simmering tension come to boiling point. So in today's video, I'll show you a video which purportedly shows a Greek coast guard firing upon a Turkish ship. I'll show you some footage from a recent speech that President Erdogan gave to the armed forces, where he talks about Greece paying a heavy price and Turkey coming at night. So we'll have a look at that, and I'll talk about the implications. I'll then talk about the Russian grain deal that was brokered by Turkey recently. And President Putin has come out and complained about the practicalities of that deal. He's claiming that Europe are taking the lion's share of the grain, and that he wanted that grain to be going to Africa and nations who need it from a food crisis perspective. And President Erdogan has now come out and backed up President Putin's statements. So there's some more tension that's starting to grow between Turkey and NATO. I'll then give you a quick update on changes to the banking rules in Turkey, which are causing problems for the banks, and they're struggling to be able to offer loans to some of the companies, and that's going to accentuate some of the problems in Turkey from an economic perspective. We'll then have a look at the elections that are coming up in both Turkey and Greece, which are partly the political drivers for some of the tension that we're seeing right now. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary. So what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months with regards to this military conflict, the potential for Turkey and Greece to actually go to war, and then what the implications of that will be with regards to NATO and the economies of both of those countries and the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm on that push towards 1 million subscribers. It's obviously miles away at the moment, but every little helps. So if you haven't subscribed yet, please do so. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos. So if you don't have time to watch the whole video, you can skip through things. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube, Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Now let's have a look at some footage that was posted by the Turkish Coast Guard on its website, claiming that two Greek ships opened fire on a roll-on, roll-off Turkish ship that was located around 11 miles from Turkey's coast.
Şu anda Yunan sahil güvenlik gemileri Anatolian gemisine saldırıyor.
It's claimed that the Anatolian ship, which had 18 crew, 6 Egyptians, 4 Somalians, 5 Azerbaijanians, and 3 Turkish nationals, was attacked while sailing in international waters 11 miles off Turkey's southwest coast. The footage shows a broken window and a potential bullet hole in the ceiling of the ship. Upon learning about the incident, the Turkish Coast Guard dispatched 2 boats, and the Greek boats left the area immediately. No one was injured on the ship, and the incident has been described as completely contrary to international law by the Turkish authorities, who've asked for an immediate investigation and explanation about the incident. So at face value, this seems like an unwarranted and unprovoked attack. It's unusual that a Coast Guard would open fire in international open waters on a ship for no reason. However, this isn't the first time that this sort of incident has been recorded. In February 2022, it was reported that Greek forces opened fire on two Turkish fishing vessels and that one of the sailors was injured in the leg in the incident while fishing between the Greek island of Chios and the Karabunran district in western Turkey. Now, as I reported in a recent video, Turkey claim that Greece had been using their S-300 missile systems to lock onto some Turkish fighter jets, and they've also been using radar to lock onto those planes as well. And Turkey sees this as a breach of the international conventions and a potential threat of war. And in a recent address, President Erdogan made the following statements.
Adaları işgal etmeniz filan bizi bağlamaz. Vakti, saati geldiğinde gereğini yaparız. Hani diyoruz ya, bir gece ansızın gelebiliriz. Kimin dost, kimin de karşımızda olduğunu iyi bilmemiz lazım. Şu anda bu Amerika, Dede Ağaca, Yunanistan'a silahları gönderiyor mu? Uçakları gönderiyor mu? Oradan S-300'lerle bizi tehdide kalkışıyor mu? Ey Yunan, bak tarihe bak. Tarihe dön. Çok daha fazla ileri gidersen bunun bedeli ağır olur, ağır.
So I think the message to the Greek authorities is clear here. When time comes, we will do what's necessary. We may come suddenly one night, which is a phrase that President Erdogan has used before when referring to what's happening in Syria, where Turkey have been sending in troops. So tensions are clearly rising, but the big question really is whether or not this is rhetoric, whether or not this is just talk, or if there will be any potential for military action to follow up. And I guess if we didn't have the recent incident with the Greek Coast Guard opening fire on a Turkish ship, then we could just put this down as politicians talking the talk but not walking the walk. But I think given the current political and economic situation in both countries, there is a possibility that we could end up seeing some form of military action actually occurring at some point during 2022. President Erdogan has been in power in Turkey since 2003 and is the only leader who's been elected on three consecutive occasions, and he's now running for his fourth consecutive. And the election has been called for the 24th of June 2023. So we're now in the build-up period to that election happening. And obviously what's happening in Turkey from an economic point of view is not helping his cause, because Turkey is struggling. It's got 80% inflation. The lira has devalued significantly. And there's a high degree of dollarization in the country. So a large proportion of the population prefer to use euros and dollars rather than Turkish lira. So all of these factors would normally weigh against a leader of a country. But President Erdogan is a very vocal leader, and he's come out and he's speaking directly to the people. And he knows that the tension between Turkey and Greece is a big political and emotional issue. So talking about the previous conflicts and making threats such as "we will come at night" and "Greece will pay a heavy price" are all designed firstly to make sure that Greece knows that there is a very real threat here. But secondly, President Erdogan will be confident that if some form of military conflict did occur with Greece, that potentially could increase his support in the country, because it's an age-old tactic. If you look back in history, a lot of leaders of countries have started conflicts and wars at times when their popularity was flagging. And the situation in Greece is the exact mirror of what's happening in Turkey. The Greeks are not happy that Turkey are threatening them. They own a lot of the islands. As part of the treaty that was signed after World War I, Greece was given the ownership of most of the islands in the Aegean Sea. And they want to retain that ownership. So they don't want Turkey threatening to come in and try to take back possession of some of their territory. So there's potentially quite a lot of political gain for both sides here in building up the tension and talking about the aggressor and pointing the finger at the other party. The big question is whether or not this will actually translate into some form of military offensive. And I think the answer to that is there is a real possibility. It could happen. Because of what's going on in Ukraine right now with Russia's invasion, I think there's a lot of heightened tension. And so there is a real possibility that we could see this boil over into some form of military conflict. As I reported recently, in July, Turkey acted as a peacemaker, a broker between Russia and NATO with regards to the grain that's been held up in Ukraine. As you'll know if you follow the channel, Russia and Ukraine are two of the largest exporters of wheat, amongst a number of other forms of grain. And the fact that Ukraine's ports have been closed since the war started has caused major problems all around the world. We've seen countries in Africa and the Middle East starting to suffer because they haven't been able to get those deliveries of grain. And so Turkey, in their role as a neutral, they've taken a neutral stance with regards to the sanctions against Russia. They haven't partaken in any of those sanctions. And they've still got their strong relationship with both NATO and Russia. So they brought the two parties to the table, and a deal was signed in July, a 120-day deal, to enable those ships to be able to leave the ports, sail through the Black Sea, and deliver grain from both Ukraine and Russia to the countries that need it. So on paper, that looks like a good deal, and it should start to solve the food crisis. However, President Putin recently came out and complained that the shipments that were leaving the Black Sea were being diverted mostly to Europe and wealthy countries. His intention was that the grain would go to the poorest countries that are in desperate need of it. But he's claiming that 70% of all of the shipments that have left have gone to Turkey and Europe. And he's also complaining that there are logistical problems with regards to Russian exports. So Europe has been happy to allow Ukrainian exports to come through the Black Sea, but they've been holding up the Russian exports due to paperwork. And President Erdogan has now come out and said that he supports President Putin in his complaints. So he's siding with Russia against Europe. And this again is going to cause a bit more tension between Turkey and NATO. As you'll be aware, Turkey is a member of NATO. And whilst NATO is not officially involved in the Ukraine war because Ukraine is not a member of NATO, if it was a member, then NATO would automatically have to defend Ukraine. But Ukraine isn't, so therefore NATO is sitting on the sidelines. But a lot of support is being provided financially by all of the members of NATO. So the US is the biggest supporter, the next biggest is the UK, and then we've got Germany and a lot of the European countries are providing billions of dollars of support to Ukraine. So the NATO countries individually are very much supporting Ukraine and are anti-Russia, but the official NATO stance is neutral. So President Erdogan and Turkey making these statements that they support Russia, they believe that President Putin is right in his complaints, is going to cause more conflict and issues between Turkey and NATO. And this is one of the big questions that's coming out of this whole equation. What would Turkey do if Russia does decide that it wants to invade one of the NATO countries? Because as a member of NATO, Turkey would have an obligation to join with the other countries of NATO against Russia. But Turkey is making it very clear at the moment that it actually wants to get closer to Russia. The two presidents got together recently, and the outcome of that four-hour meeting was that Turkey announced that it wanted to do more cooperation with Russia. It wanted to sign more deals and get closer. And obviously those sort of statements go against all of the sanctions that are being applied by the NATO countries against Russia right now. NATO is trying to starve out Russia. It's trying to stop all of the revenue so that it encourages Russia to stop the war and come to some form of peace agreement. Turkey has been trying to act as a middleman. It's trying to improve the amount of trade it does. And there's actually been some statements recently from Turkish businessmen that they see this as an opportunity to act as a conduit where they could enable Western goods to go to Russia and vice versa. And obviously NATO does not want that. So Turkey is walking a very fine line at the moment. And coming out and supporting President Putin's statements will not go down well with the rest of the NATO countries. And there will come a point at some point in the near future where I think Turkey will have to sit down with the rest of NATO and decide how this relationship is going to work. Because at the moment, it looks like Turkey is favouring Russia against all of its NATO obligations. Some Turkish banks are curtailing corporate lending after the government's latest raft of regulations raised their costs and forced many to cut their balance sheet risks. The new rules, which are part of President Erdogan's unorthodox management of the economy, have especially depressed longer-term lending. And manufacturers are reporting that it's now becoming harder and harder to access credit. Credit and collateral regulations rolled out in recent months have caused confusion and raised many questions from banks. This has caused a considerable slowdown in new lending, which at the end of August was up 20% compared to this time last year. However, the increase compares to a level of 50% in April 2022. The central bank's regulation last month pushed lenders to cut rates on commercial loans and required those that do not to hold larger lira deposits, which prompted a flurry of treasury bond buying. The central bank's message to the financial sector was to extend cheap loans to net exporters and small and medium-sized enterprises, or effectively return the funding to the government by holding bonds. The share of loans to small and medium-sized enterprises financed by the central bank has risen to 25% from 5% at the beginning of the year, and this is likely to continue increasing. SMEs are seen by banks as riskier, but more likely to expand investment and hiring, while exporters help ease the country's trade imbalance and replenish the central bank's depleted foreign reserves. Businesses have complained that the rules favour some sectors over others and slowed lending at a time that high inflation has diminished their equity, making credit all the more critical. So what we're seeing in Turkey right now is that the new lending rules are encouraging them to lend more to smaller enterprises that are seen to be healthy to grow the economy. But the problem with that is that smaller companies represent a higher credit risk from a lender's perspective. So essentially what the central bank is doing is encouraging the Turkish banks to get involved in higher risk lending. So it's increasing the chances of default at a time when we've already got a lot of other factors in the Turkish economy that are putting businesses under pressure. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I think what's happening in Turkey right now is really interesting. The country is a net importer, so therefore it's been badly affected by the Ukraine war. We've seen increases in the price of all of the things that Turkey is importing, and we've now got inflation above 80%. So that tells you how serious the situation is. It's one of the highest inflation rates in the world. It's the highest in the G20, the biggest 20 economies, but it's right up there with countries like Venezuela and Zimbabwe. So it's out of control and it really needs to be sorted out. And there's no quick fix because the lira has devalued. We've got a high level of dollarization and there are a lot of major problems that are not going to be sorted within the next 3 to 6 months in Turkey. And added to all of those problems, we've got an election coming up in June next year. So there's a lot of political discussion going on in Turkey right now. And Turkey have taken this neutral stance to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. They had a long-standing relationship with Ukraine and Russia and are obviously a member of NATO. And they took the position that they wanted to continue dealing with Russia. And they've managed to bypass all of the sanctions, which is quite incredible, really, because the rest of NATO have really been encouraged to join in the sanctions. And Turkey have got a free pass on this situation. And President Erdogan is not just taking a passive role here. He's actively meeting with President Putin of Russia and stating to the markets that Turkey wants to do more business with Russia going forward. So this looks like an untenable situation to me. I don't think Turkey will be able to build a stronger relationship with Russia and also remain in NATO. Because as we move forward into 2023, Europe will be more detached from the Russian gas supplies and oil supplies, and it's likely that NATO and Europe will start to apply secondary sanctions against countries who are dealing with Russia, because if Russia can carry on trading as if nothing's happened, then the sanctions won't work. So the US, the UK, the rest of Europe will start applying pressure on the countries who are helping Russia to try to encourage them to stop. Because if this war carries on for years, it will have a massive damaging impact on the global economy. So at some point it will come to a head. But what's happening between Greece and Turkey right now is really fascinating because it's been going on for a long time. It's not big news that Turkey and Greece have fallen out over all of these islands and there's long-standing tension. But I think what is news is the fact that Turkey are upping the ante. They're ramping up the rhetoric, the talk. They're saying that Greece could pay a heavy price and indicating that military conflict could happen. And on the flip side, Greece have been using their weapon systems to lock onto Turkish jets and also opening fire onto Turkish ships. So I think both sides are potentially culpable here. And the question is whether or not this will lead to military conflict. And I think the answer to that is there is a possibility that it could. Because of everything that's happening in both countries and what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, I think there is a chance that we could see this boil over. All it will take is one incident from either side overstepping the mark, and this could escalate. And the problem we would have then is that both of these countries are in NATO. So usually when aggression is applied against a NATO member, it can call on the rest of NATO to come in and help to solve the problem. But if both parties are in NATO, then that's going to cause a real dilemma for NATO. And this again will then go back to this issue that we're talking about with regards to Turkey buddying up with Russia. So if they're putting themselves offside with regards to NATO, there is a possibility here that Greece could be seen as the favoured party against Turkey if Turkey are getting into bed with Russia. And of course, if that did happen, it would be more bad news for the global economy, because the last thing that we need right now is any more military conflict. We've already seen the massive implications that Russia's invasion of Ukraine has had on the global economy at all sorts of levels. And if we were to have another war involving another member of the G20, it could be potentially disastrous. That could make the global financial crisis look like a picnic. So let's hope, for everybody's sake, that that does not happen. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.